Christian Crusaders warmly welcomes each of you to our Palm Sunday radio worship service. Our service will be conducted by the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson. We pray this program helps ready your heart for the acceptance of the great gift offered by our Savior, Jesus Christ. We invite you to tune in to this radio station at this time every Sunday and worship with us. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
Does your relationship with Jesus Christ shape your life? I'm going to talk about that in a sermon today. We open our service in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you for your word that tells us so specifically your mission on this earth. Now we pray, Holy Spirit, that you will take that word and make Christ come alive, that he may live in our hearts, that he may control and shape our lives. Hear our prayer, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Rise up.
Hear the word of God as it is recorded in the 19th chapter of the Gospel of St. John, beginning with verse 38. I used this same passage last week, but let me read it again. Later, Joseph of Arimathea asked Pilate for the body of Jesus. Now Joseph was a disciple of Jesus, but secretly because he feared the Jews. With Pilate's permission, he came and took away the body. He was accompanied by Nicodemus, a man who earlier had visited Jesus at night. Nicodemus brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 75 pounds. Taking Jesus' body, the two of them wrapped it with the spices in strips of linen. This was in accordance with Jewish burial customs. At the place where Jesus was crucified, there was a garden, and in the garden a new tomb in which no one had ever been laid, because it was a Jewish day of preparation, and since the tomb was nearby, they lay Jesus there. Here ends the reading of God's holy word.
Thank you.
friends in Christ. When we become a part of an event or a part of a person's life, our emotions can sometimes be moved. For example, you go to a movie and the plot becomes very much a part of you. You're moved. It's always interesting to sit in a movie and watch the people. Some of them are pulling out their handkerchiefs and wiping away tears. When we are involved with a person who is being hurt badly, sometimes our emotions are anger. Not long ago, I got word that a dear young friend of mine had died. He really died of an overdose of drugs. I remember that young lad. I remember him coming to my confirmation class. He was a good-looking chap and smart. He went on to college, and he became a very successful man in his chosen profession. But then there were some problems in his life, and he took to drugs. And the results were that his brain, according to the family, was pretty well fried. I guess that's an overdose of drugs. When I heard that, I became very angry. And after I was done being emotional about it, I began to think, now I blamed those drug lords who are nurturing the growth of this multi-billion dollar business. They made it available for him. Because I loved this young man so much, I overlooked his responsibility of saying, no, this is not the way out of my problems. My point is that when we get involved with a person or an event, when we really get involved, the emotions really begin to flare. But it is interesting, too, that often after they have quieted a little bit, we settle down and seem to live life as usual. But this is not always the case. Sometimes this emotion causes us to act. There is a compelling force within us that says, I just can't let this pass by. I cannot let it remain on the table. I'm going to do something about it. Well, that was the case of the two men who I have read about this morning in the text for this sermon. They were two men who had watched Jesus die. Their names were Nicodemus and Joseph. Joseph came from Arimathea. These men were members of the Jewish ruling council. Sometimes we call them the Sanhedrin. They had come to a faith in Jesus Christ over a period of years. Now they were truly followers of the Lord. Our text today refers then to this man by the name of Nicodemus. Nicodemus had met Christ sometime earlier, probably as much as even 3 years ago. He was a person who wanted to know more about that Savior. So at night, as a member of the ruling council of the Jews, he came into Jesus' presence and he said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are from God, because if you were not from God, you would not be able to do the things that you have done. Then Jesus says to Nicodemus, unless you are born again, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. That term, born again, was of some concern to Nicodemus. He didn't know what Jesus was really talking about. So he asked the stupid question, can a person be born a second time? Can he really get into his mother's womb and be born again? Of course he can. And then Jesus said to him, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. We don't know how far the conversation between Nicodemus and Jesus went, but you can be sure that at that particular time, The seed had been sown, and Nicodemus never forgot that night with the Lord Jesus. All of the time, the Holy Spirit was at work. He saw in Jesus something that he really needed. He was a religious man. He kept the laws of his religion. He was faithful in performing the rituals. But there was no peace in his heart, and there was really no power to really face the difficult times of day. He needed something more. Isn't that often true with those of us who can be religious people? And it stops right there. There is no real power in our religion. There is really no peace that comes from being ever so faithful just to the church. We need a relationship with Jesus Christ, and Nicodemus realized that. So it went along, and one day the council was meeting, and Nicodemus was sitting among them. Now you have to remember that he was a silent follower of Jesus. He knew that the Lord had a lot to offer him, but he wasn't quite ready to come out and identify himself with Jesus for fear of what the Sanhedrin would do. But on that particular day, they were thinking about trying Jesus and maybe even seeing if it would not be possible for him to be crucified. Then it was that Nicodemus at least got this much courage. He said, "Doesn't he deserve a fair trial? Doesn't our law say that you cannot condemn a person until he has been tried?" And I can't help but think that there might have been a quiver in his voice and a tear that went down his cheek, as he had real concern about this man who was being treated in such an unjust way. He deserves more than this. And later on, he decided that that love caused him to do something about Jesus having a respectable burial. Now, the other person is Joseph of Arimathea. He, too, was a member of the ruling council, and I sometimes wonder, I don't know how large that council was, but I wonder if Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus really knew what was going on in one another's heart. I wonder if they might have thought, "He must be my brother, because I'm having the same feeling about Jesus that he is." We don't know. We know that Joseph of Arimathea was a good man, and he did not agree that Jesus should be killed, but he kept still about it for fear of those Jews. Now his emotion was building to anger. He had stood there at the foot of the cross. He had watched Jesus die. And finally, he said, "Enough is enough." In other words, St. Paul pretty well describes Joseph of Arimathea when he writes to the Corinthian church, "The love of Christ compels us, because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died." Joseph of Arimathea must have thought, "He died for me, and I simply can no longer be simply a silent follower of his. I must identify with him." So he went to Pilate. He asked Pilate if he could have the body. When Pilate learned that the body was really dead, he said, "Of course you can have the body." You know, he didn't care what happened to it. According to Roman custom, it could just as well have hung there for two or three more days, and then they would have thrown it to the vultures or to the wild dogs. But Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus said, "No, sir, not if we have anything to do about it." And so what is it that they did? They were spiritually moved, and it was more than simply shedding a tear. They went and took that body and anointed it with ointment. Costly ointment. 75 pounds of it. And then Nicodemus had brought along some linen, and they wrapped that body in the linen. And Joseph said, "I have just had a new tomb built, carved right into the rocks." And because it was close by, they put Jesus' body there. It was love that motivated them. In other words, they had become highly involved with this individual. He was not just another historical character. He had become their Lord, their Savior. And because he first loved them, now they were going to show their love for him, regardless of what the cost was to be. May I just insert here, sort of parenthetically, that this is a tremendous text for stewardship. You know, in many of our churches, we have Stewardship Sunday, and the church that I served always had it in the fall of the year. It was during that time that we spent time emphasizing the need of giving ourselves to the one who first gave himself to us. We talk about the giving of time and the talent and the money for the extension of the kingdom of God. It never occurred to me until I was studying a text this time that here is one of the greatest stewardship texts found in the Bible. Two men are spiritually motivated to act. Two men who are now identified with Jesus want to show their love for Jesus. It was more than a shedding of a tear. It was really saying, I am ready to give myself to you, Lord. And that is the basis, my friend, for all of stewardship. It's action. I speak now of the stewardship of our lives more than I do of the giving of just our money. That's a part of it. But the giving of our lives, the giving of ourselves, of saying, Lord Jesus, here I am. I am fully aware that you have given everything for me. And now I want to give to you. When once that has happened, then people become stewards. Then you don't have to say to them, won't you serve this way or that way? Won't you give of your money? You know, the last thing that Joseph was going through, I'm sure at that particular time, was wondering about the cost of that tomb, and now if he gave that to Jesus, where was he going to be? That didn't matter at all. His Lord needed it, and he was willing to give it. And I'm sure the person who has met the Lord Jesus Christ is willing to say, not only my money, it's my time, Lord. It's my talent. What do you want me to do? How can I serve you the best? You see, Christ has become a part of our lives. My opening statement in this sermon was, when we become a part of an event or a person's life, we are moved to act. Two people can go to that same movie. One weeps and the other one sleeps. One really has gotten into the plot. And the other one thinks, oh, this is boring. This is a good time for me to take a nap. The plot has captured the one being. The other one is bored to death. Two people learn about the drug problem among our youth. The one is angry because it was her child whose son or daughter was incarcerated for selling cocaine. That's come very, very close to home. We've got to get rid of this. We can't have these temptations around our young people. And the other person deplores the drug traffic, but does not become too excited because it has not become a part of the problem in their family. None of them are on drugs. You see, it's when it becomes very personal that our emotions are moved to act. Two persons look at the cross. The one can tell the story and can have great respect for Jesus. That person may say, that shows you what happens when a person stands for his conviction. The other person says it's more than that. That person is moved. Jesus is turning his or her life around. And so the only response to that can be, Lord, take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. For that person, Jesus is more than a biblical character described in the pages of the Bible. He is more than a dogma whose suffering, death, and resurrection has become the core of the Christian faith, to which I pledge allegiance on Sunday morning when I confess my faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. All of that is wonderful. It is absolutely necessary. But Jesus Christ is more than that. He is a living person. who came rapping at my heart's door. And he said, if you'll open the door, I'll come in. I'll live in your life. And you and I will become involved with one another. That's quite different. That's what you call a spiritual awakening. That's where we see the need of just listening to that Savior. It's my prayer that during this Lenten season, many people in the church who have good understanding of what the Lenten service and Lenten theme is all about can really meet the Savior face to face. But when that happens, we live in a personal relationship with Him. Then we say, here I am, Lord. You take my tomb. You take my ointment. You take my linen. You take my talent. You take my time. You take my possessions and whatever else I have that you can use. All of these things are simply symbolic of something far greater. Lord, take my life. Lord, as I look at the cross, I see your love for me. And that love compels me to give myself to you. Friend, let me tell you, it is at the foot of the cross you really see his love. It is at the foot of the cross you hear his voice saying, come, come and follow me. And when you do, you will have a peace which passes all understanding. When you do, when you say, come into my life and let's walk through life together, then I tell you, friend, it won't matter what the Sanhedrin said, nor in our day will it matter what anybody else says. We're only concerned that we are faithful to the Lord Jesus, who was so faithful to us that he suffered and died and was raised again, that we might have the forgiveness of our sins and the promise of life everlasting. Amen.
Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. Take my hands and let them move at the impulse of thy love. At the impulse of thy love.
Father in heaven, as we enter the Holy Week, we pray that we may walk with you step by step and see the suffering that you went through in order that we might have eternal life. Holy Spirit, we pray that what happened to Nicodemus and to Joseph of Arimathea may happen to all of us. But in a very particular way, we pray that it may happen to those who are outside of your kingdom, who for them Jesus is only a dogma or only a biblical character. Grant, O God, that he may come alive in their lives and that they may become involved with him to the honor and the glory of his holy name. Lord, send a spiritual awakening into the church and grant that we may be ever more zealous in telling the story of that wonderful Savior. Hear us as together we pray, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, And forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. Amen.
You have been worshiping with the radio ministry of the Christian Crusaders. We have designated April as Letter Month. We encourage each listener to write or call our office and tell us what station you listen to. Please include some information about yourself. We would like to know more about each member of our listening family. As a thank you, Christian Crusaders will send all listeners who respond a booklet of biblical passages titled God's Love Never Fails. This booklet shares insights about God's love from Moses, David, Paul, Jesus, and others. Please write this week to Christian Crusaders, Post Office Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa 50613. Cassette tapes or printed copies of today's sermon are available free of charge. However, a gift of $2.50 will help cover the mailing and production costs. Our mailing address is Christian Crusaders, Post Office Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa 50613. Our toll-free phone number is 1-888-MY-FAITH. That's 1-888-693-2484. In the Cedar Falls, Waterloo, Iowa area, dial 266-7589. Christian Crusaders invites you to find out more about our ministry on the Internet. Our website address is christiancrusaders.org. That's Christian Crusaders, all one word, .org. Conducting our service today was the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson, Pastor Emeritus of Nazareth Lutheran Church, Cedar Falls, Iowa, and radio pastor of Christian Crusaders for the past 39 years.